Read me romance. Read, read me romance. Read me romance. Read, read me romance.
You could take a look in a book, that's fine. Or you could sit back, relax, and unwind and
read me romance. Read, read me romance.
Hey, did you guys read the book this week?
No. I didn't even know it was your week.
It's okay. It's fine.
I tried, in my defense.
We've been on vacation, Tessa. The both of us have been on vacation. We just got back yesterday. Well, I got back late Saturday night.
I'm going to choose to be not upset about it.
Or you can choose.
I can choose to be not upset about it.
You can choose how you react to this situation. Yes, exactly. It's your choice how you decide to react to this. You can't be mad at us.
Exactly. Right.
You can this choose to be pissy.
Hey, lady listeners. How are you?
Hi.
Say hi, everybody. It's Monday, June something, 24th, maybe. It's day 180 of this podcast. Send rations.
I was going to say, do we have a message in the bottle yet out in the water? Does that help?
We definitely have it together this week. It's my week. We're listening to Find Her by Tessa Bailey.
If there's any week we can fucking slack off,
I know, it's yours. I was just thinking that. I'm yawning over here into the microphone. Oh my god, it matters, it's Tessa.
What time did you get home last night? Because you said your flight got delayed a bunch, right?
It got delayed like four times, and then they made us run. And then we get there across the terminal, and they're like, there's no bathroom on this plane. I'm like, what?
Oh no.
I've never heard of that.
And then they're like trying to serve drinks. I'm like, no, you're not giving my kid a drink. Get out of here.
Oh Jesus.
Where's he gonna be?
Was he asking for a drink and you're like, no.
Yes.
Oh my god.
No.
How long was the flight?
I think it was supposed to be like an hour and 30 minutes, but they made it in an hour.
Oh well, that's not too bad.
They still were fast.
Tell everybody where you were.
I was at Pokemon Fest, which was really awesome for like the first 5 hours, and then it started to pour down rain on us, and everybody was like, oh no, and they kicked us out of the event for a little bit, and then they let us in, and we all went back, and it was just thousands of people not caring that it's pouring down rain on us. Everybody's like under ponchos with their phones, still playing Pokemon, still trading Pokemon. We're like a mud up to our ankles. Nobody cares.
I was gonna say, if you're at Pokemon Fest, you definitely don't give a fuck about anything. Like, you're gonna hunt Pokemon.
Yeah.
No one's gonna stop you.
I know. My son, I think he walked like 10 miles that day.
Wow, that's awesome.
But we just kept on trucking. But I guess everybody who was there on Saturday, because they had to shut us down for 3 hours, we get to experience, which I don't know how they're going to do it, Pokemon again on Saturday, just wherever you are.
So they're going to somehow, like, let you do it no matter where you are?
I guess. I don't know how they're going to do this, because when we walked around, we went to different areas, because there's, like, snow Pokemon and fairy Pokemon and earth Pokemon, so you would walk into these areas that they had set up like that.
Yeah.
And that's where these Pokemon would be. I don't know how they're going to do that in everybody's random location, but we'll see. But that's what I'll be doing Saturday, running around, I guess, Carney.
We'll get a full report next week.
I know. I want to know how this works out.
I want to know how this works out.
But
they did good.
Well, how was Yellowstone before that? Because you guys were in Yellowstone for a few days before you went to Chicago, right?
Yeah, we were in Yellowstone, and then we drove to Aspen.
Okay.
Which was really pretty. It was nice and relaxing. The only thing that sucked was the drive from Yellowstone to Aspen. I think it was like 10 to 12 hours.
Yeah. Mm-mm.
But I pee a lot. I gotta pee like every hour. I'm a very hydrated person.
Yeah.
We were like on a road, and I'm like, I don't think this is the highway. And my husband's like, it is. It was all gravel. It was pitch black. But no, it was good. Everybody did a lot better than I thought they were going to. Like, I was like, these kids are gonna be a mess. But no, everybody was great, oddly.
And while you were gone, people, lady listeners were visiting your storefront in Missouri.
Oh, I saw that! That was so cute!
I cannot believe, like, that you
Someone
hadn't sent us a picture
it.
Of what that looked like
because
until
it's
now.
Done. My dad
it's
just
so
started
cool.
it.
I love it.
He just threw up a few books. It needs, like, decorations or something.
Yeah.
It's a hot
You can
mess.
Just string some Christmas lights around that thing and
oh
it would look
my
pretty.
God. Imagine it at fairy Christmas. Lights. You could put all our Christmas romances up there.
I have to like Saks Fifth
Avenue.
And, if I occupy a space on Main Street, I have to have
like something to look at.
Something to look at. I have to have a display of some sort.
Yeah.
So
I like that. Though.
When when somebody posted that picture, I was like, I thought it was amazing, but I was also like, well, now I feel kind of protective of Mel because I'm like, can you imagine if somebody knocked on the door and poor Mel, she's so shy.
I know.
She would just be bright red. She was like, there's no Leah here to be a buffer.
People walk by and they like point. The other day I just happened to step by out and my mom was driving by and she rolls down the window and she's like, get your board off my street. Like, thanks, Mom. That was something I learned about my son this weekend, though.
What?
You know, I always say he likes to be inside and he likes to be home.
Yeah.
He doesn't like to go out. So I've just always considered him an introvert like me. No. He'll talk to everybody. I'm like, what the hell is going on? You're an introvert. You're doing this wrong.
But I think, isn't it probably because they had a common interest? Like, it made it
exactly.
Like...
Exactly. It was
they
about
They immediately Pokemon. Had common ground. Yeah.
We get down there, and I'm standing there with my friend Jeanette and her husband, who's a little bit of an introvert like me. There's a trading section where you trade Pokemon, and Jeanette's like, I'm going to go sit down over here, and you guys go trade. And me and Dan are like, you're not going to come and trade for us? Like, we were like in panic mode. She's like, fine, I'll come down there. But then we get down there, my son's like running around. He's like, I need this. Who's got that? Who's got, like, screaming?
Oh, that's so funny.
I love that.
That's awesome.
And he's like, I gotta go talk to that lady with the microphone. I'm like,
do they only do it in Chicago every year?
Yeah.
It's just in Chicago.
And it's not like you can just get tickets. We only barely got tickets because you have to enter a lottery. Uh-huh. And we only got tickets for one day. And then one person has to win the lottery. And Jeanette won it out of all of us that entered. And then she can give away 4 tickets. Okay. But you can only give away tickets to people who you played in-game with a lot. Like, you have to have a best friend level.
Yeah, like you couldn't just sell tickets to
it. You couldn't sell tickets. We couldn't even give my daughter a ticket because she didn't play enough.
So now is it all over the world or is it just this place? This is one
Just this one place at this one time. If you had a ticket, you got all these awesome Pokemon spawned, ones that were only for there and rares. And you had to have a ticket. People could walk through the park, but you couldn't see the stops and the Pokemon like we could.
You're like, get out of the way. You're just knocking people over. They're like, what? Where is it? I don't see anything.
I bet people in Chicago were pissed because even in the streets, like afterwards, people are just walking down the street. We're not looking up. We're all just looking down at our phones, slow walking. I bet Chicago people are like, get the fuck out of the way, you people.
It's crazy how many niche things you belong to. Like, you know when you go to, like, a romance signing and people in the elevator are like, what are you here for? And you're like, oh, it's a romance convention. And they're like, what? And you're like, you, because, like, in your world, they're so massive. Like, everybody's going to them. Uh-huh. They're big. But then other people, like, regular, I guess, humans, just don't. They don't know anything about it. And, like, so you have this world that's so huge to you and so, unknown to other people. And then you also have that with Pokemon. Like, you're just in these, a member of these little hidden societies.
I had my friend's daughter ask me, she was like, have you ever been recognized? Like, and I was like, no, that's not a thing.
But, like, if you think about it, like, would you, I'd say, like, the average person wouldn't recognize E.L. James. Like, if she was walking down the street. No. Like, I'd say, like, maybe 2% of the population would recognize her. And she's the biggest romance, like, the most visible romance author out there. Yeah. So, like,
I wouldn't know Danielle
what fucking
Steele.
Chance do we ever have?
I mean, I wouldn't, honestly, I wouldn't know Danielle Steele if she walked out in front of me.
Same.
You know, I wouldn't know, Nora Roberts, if somebody
I'd know
was
Nora
like,
Roberts, yeah.
Well, I know her face, but I wouldn't pick her out of a room. You know, I wouldn't just look over and be like, oh my God, that's Nora Roberts. I'd be like, that looks like a lot like Nora Roberts. You know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't just like immediately be able to spot her, you know?
But someone told me that Nora Roberts smokes cigarettes and I was like, oh man, she's so much cooler now. And I'm like, that's such
awesome.
Weird thing to think, but I don't know why not like smoking cigarettes makes you cool, but maybe it's like a leftover mentality from when I was a teenager.
I think that's badass. Get it, lady.
Like, but I just picture her, like, smoking at her laptop and just banging out bestsellers.
Well, I just, like, I've heard of authors complain about this before, like, oh, I get interrupted all the time. I'm like, no, you don't.
I know what you're talking about. I was at dinner and interrupted. I'm like, yeah, sure you were.
Yeah. An author was complaining about getting interrupted at a meal because people kept recognizing her. I'm like, that does not happen. No. And I even said that. I was like, if fucking J.K. Rowling was at, because I was at Universal this past week, I said, if fucking J.K. Rowling came in here with, like, a t-shirt and a hat on, she'd walk right down the middle of this aisle. Nobody'd know who she was.
Nobody.
Like,
I mean,
like, she's recognizable, but she's not, like, she doesn't have that superstar quality that, like, you know, I don't know, if, like, fucking Jason Momoa or whatever his name is. Like, whatever. Like, if he was walking down the
street. Obviously, he doesn't have that much of star quality either.
Absolutely not. He does nothing for my motorboat. But, like, but I'm just saying, if, like, he was walking down the street, like, he just has that, like, star quality, confident, like, you know, you will not miss him. But she walked by? No, you'd never know. So don't tell me, like, the C-grade author gets interrupted all the time at dinner. This is just not a thing. Like, I don't know.
I'd love that if that happened to me. Have you ever fantasized about it happening? Like, when you're with, like, your family who doesn't take you seriously and someone comes up to you and they're like, oh my god, are you Tessa? And you're like, oh my god, yeah, hi. And your family's just like, oh my god, maybe she is real, like, so really important.
You dream about validation is what I'm hearing.
I dream about validation. Just writing that down for my therapist.
And all, I've even looked before when people are out and about reading. I've only ever spotted one person in my entire life openly reading an erotica book. And it was a Maya Banks book in a doctor's office. And it had a cover that you wouldn't have known.
Yeah. Really?
I just happened to know because it was a pop cover. I was like, that's the only time I've ever even seen somebody reading
a romance.
Somebody was reading a, like, a old tattered copy of a Christina Dodd book last week in my daughter's dance waiting room. And like, she had read this book 74 times. Like, it was just old and beat up and is probably from the 80s. And I know, I wanted to kind of, like, sit next to her and be like, so,
let's can we talk about it?
Can we talk a little bit? But she was like, I think she was somebody's grandmother, but it was just like, not that you have to be a grandmother to read Christina Dodd.
No,
anything,
that's just great.
Super old school. I loved it.
Well, I've been listening to I told you guys last week, I've been listening to Atomic Habits. And one of the things that he just tells you how to make good habits for, you know, just every part of your life. Like, he said, one of the suggestions is, he's like, if you want to read more, you know, discover things that you like. And he was like, don't be embarrassed to read romance if that's what you like. And I was like, yes, exactly. Like, I got really excited at that part of it. I was like, that's a great habit to start, ladies.
So, Leah, how was Universal? How was the Harry Potter ride, the new one?
So we're going to spend this entire episode discussing this, right? Is that what we're going
to do? I knew she was waiting for it. She was like, I'm going to get everybody else this weekend out of the way.
I'm just going to buy them. If nobody asks me, I'm not going to say it because I don't want to cry. But it was wonderful.
Oh my god, your voice sorry shaking.
No, I'm like, it was absolutely fucking awesome. Oh, not only was the ride great, but I met the cast, like, as they're walking past me. Like, it was,
what do you mean?
Like, so they opened the Hagrid's Magical Creature Motorbike Adventure. It's like 72 words long. The new roller coaster, but it's Hagrid's ride. And it's like a sidecar and a motorbike or whatever, and it's incredible. I rode it 4 times, and it was so great. But so the day I got there on my birthday, and it opened on my birthday was on Tuesday, and it opened on Thursday. And on Tuesday night, they had a special thing with some of the cast members from the movies. So, like, the twins that are in it, the Weasley twins.
Yeah, I know that.
Yeah, so they were there. The girl who plays Luna, she was there. Warwick Davis, who plays Professor Flitwick in Grip Hook. Willow, he was there.
I know, yeah, Willow.
Yeah, Willow, so he was
there.
That's
a big deal.
And then Tom Felton, the guy who plays Draco Malfoy, he was there. So they had some of the celebrities from the movies. They had, like, a private event on Tuesday, and they sold 40 tickets, and that was it. So we didn't get into that. but they videotaped it. And so we watched it. And we're like, oh, that's so cool. And I was like, they're going to be long gone before the ride actually opens, because that was on Tuesday and the ride was on Thursday. So on Thursday, I had booked a tour for that morning because I knew the wait times were going to be insane. And it was. They had 12-hour wait times on the ride. So people were getting there. Like, they were queuing up at, like, somebody was there at, like, 2 in the morning. That's when they started the line, because that was as soon as you could start it. But anyway, so, like, I had a tour that morning, and they told us, they were like, you're only going to get to ride it once. You can ride it at 9:30, and that's it. And they were like, okay. So we and a group of my friends, that there were 6 of us that went, or 4 of us that went total. And so we go around to the back, and they make us take everything out of our pockets, like no wallets, phones, keys, nothing. Like, you could only have your person. And so we had to leave it as security section. And we go back, and it's like behind the ride, and all of a sudden, like, all the stars are like walking by us, like right by us. And the twins like hold up their hands and like high five us. They're like, enjoy the ride, enjoy the ride. And they're like high fiving us all the way down. And then Tom Felton's like the guy that plays Draco. He's like, it's so awesome. And like everybody else was like, hey, hey, hey. Cause they went in and they rode it first thing on Thursday and like quote unquote opened the ride. And then we were the first people to get on after that. So, like, they went on it, rode it around, and then we jumped on it, and we rode it. And, like, it was so
What was incredible. Your emotional response to it?
I cried. Like, I did. Like, I just started crying afterwards, like, after we high-fived them, because I was so, like, jacked up. And then we got on the ride, and it was so much better than any expectation I could have had. It's so smooth. It's so fun. There's, like, it's over 3 minutes long. So, like, there's so many fun things that happen. Like, there's these, like, speed ups and drops, and you go backwards, but it's so smooth, and it's not jerky or anything. It was so incredible. And then, like, after the ride stopped, I look back at my friends, and we're all just in tears because it was such a crazy moment. We're like, holy shit, we met them. And then, oh my God, the ride was so awesome. So it was just really cool. The next day, I got up at, like, 6, I think. And I got in line, and we waited almost 8 hours to ride it, and it was worth it. I would have done it again.
You waited 8 hours in line?
Yeah, to ride it again. Yeah.
How did you pass the time?
Well, just talking? we kind of made friends with people around us too. And so we ended up, by the time we got on the ride, we told them there was a party of 10 because we had made friends with the people around us so that we could all ride it together. Because, like, I mean, there was only, like, diehards and stuff that were in line. So, you know, the people that were there wanted to be there. You know, it's kind of like the Pokemon thing where it's like, it's pouring rain, you don't care, you know, because you're there for that. Like, you're all just happy to be there. It was the same thing with us. Like, it was 1,000,000 degrees and then it poured down rain. And we were like, we're here for this.
Nobody's leaving. I'm so happy for you. I'm glad it lived up to your expectations.
It surpassed any expectation. And I was surprised because I haven't been to Disney World, but everybody in the party said it was the best ride in all of Florida. There is no ride that will beat it. And the one girl said she waited 12 hours the day it opened, and she was in line with us again. And she was like, I'll do this again tomorrow. She said, that's how good this roller coaster is. So it was great. I
bought tickets over the weekend for Universal Studios Hollywood.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
Because I'll be there in July.
Yeah. Are you doing Disneyland too, or are you just doing Universal?
No, we decided against Disneyland. We decided to just do Universal because they, like, we, you know, Mackenzie wants to ride the new Harry Potter ride, but also she wants to do, there's a new Jurassic World ride, and she loves Jurassic Park. Yeah.
Do they have the new Hagrid ride in Orlando or in?
I think they do. Yeah.
I don't know.
You know what? Maybe they don't. Hold on. Let me go check.
I didn't think they opened it there, but maybe not. Maybe I'm totally wrong. But I did get an email about that Jurassic World did just open up, because that's not going to open in Florida until, like, next year.
Okay. No, they don't have it. Sorry. Flight of the Hippogriff, Wizarding World, obviously, and then The Forbidden Journey, which we've already done.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, she really wants to go to Jurassic. She's actually probably a bigger fan of Jurassic Park than even Harry Potter. She loves
it. You had mentioned that before, like, when you guys went, and they've got a great area for that, too. They have you guys did the raptor encounter, right, where you, like, got to meet them.
No, there was, you know, like, we were at the end of the day at that point because, like, we had done Wizarding World and then gone over, like, you know, you do the train, you go to the next section.
It's so big. Yeah.
And so, like, by the time we got to Jurassic World, we were like, oh, let's just do the one Jungle Cruise ride and then let's blow this popsicle stand. But, yeah, I bought tickets for it and I'm really excited.
Well, that's what our friend LB was with us, and she was saying, like, she's been to Disney World a couple of times. The parks are so small there, and there are so many people. You know, one of our friends that is a team member at Universal, he was saying that he was like, there's too many hotels for the Disney parks. So there's so many people that come, but if those are at full capacity, the park is at over capacity. So it's like there's too many rooms rented for the size of the parks that are available.
Oh, I see what you mean.
And it's kind of the opposite problem with Universal, where the parks are so big. And so even on a high capacity day, it's still not unbearable. Where he was saying, he was like, when you go to Disney on a high capacity day, he's like, I feel unsafe. Like, he said, I'm scared to go in.
It's really crowded. And you're right about Universal. Like, I just remember walking out and thinking, like, there's so much space. Like, it feels like a movie lot, like,
yeah,
where you just, like, it's vast. Like, mm-hmm. You can just see the, and it's, like, a lot of empty space. And there's a lot of places to eat. And it's just, like, I think it caters to more people.
Well, and I'm excited because they're expanding in the next few years. They're doing Nintendo there. So they're going to have, like, you know, like, maybe a Zelda or a Mario Brother. In each park. So they're going to add, so cool. they have a couple of parks, so they're going to add sections to each of it, I think is what they said. So that'd be pretty cool. So I'm looking forward to that. But I mean, if you're curious about Hagrid's Ride at all, feel free to post it in the Read Me Romance headquarters and I'll tell you everything about it, everything you want to know. It's magnificent.
So this conversation is to be continued.
Yeah, but I want to talk about why I'm so tired right now, though, because I got home really late on Saturday, which was fine. Yesterday was Father's Day. I am obsessed with Outlander. Have you guys watched this show?
Oh my God, I did not see that coming.
No, what were you thinking? Well, I was going to say, like,
no, I just, like, either you've already watched it or, you know,
no,
like, it's been out for a while.
I know. So I never read it. My friend Misty, shout out, girl. She has been, like, 10 years she's been trying to get me to read these books. And I'm like, they're too big.
Oh, the book.
No, I'm watching the show. No, I'm watching the show. She's been trying to get me to read the books. And I'm like, that's like Game of Thrones shit to me. I cannot invest that much time in a book series. They're too big. And she's like, well, they're so good. They're so good. And so it came on, you know, it's on Netflix right now. And so they have season one and season two on Netflix.
Yeah.
And then Stars has 3 and 4 maybe. And there's 5s coming in the spring. I don't know. But my husband and I were like doing something. He was on the computer the other night. He's like, I don't want to watch my show because I don't want to be, it was Chernobyl. So he was like, I don't want to watch that because I have to pay attention. He was like, so just put something on. And I was like, all right, cool. And I was like, you know what? Fuck this. I've never watched Outlander. It looks like something. Why wouldn't I like this? You know,
it's so, okay. I know what you're feeling right now. And that's why I stopped watching it, because if it, like, it consumed me to the point where, like, I couldn't focus on what I was trying to do. I was like, it's like that Twilight feeling of like,
yes.
Oh God, I'm just never going to be another love like this. And it's
I
just
was
like
up until 2 in
awful
the morning.
Yearny. Yeah, yes. No, I know. It's an amazing show. It's so well acted. It's beautiful to watch.
Oh my God, it's so well
but
produced.
But it's like, it's like, it gives you that feeling of just, like, it consumes you to the point where you're like,
I can't stop.
You can't focus until the next episode.
No!
And then I can't.
And
can't
I just kept
it.
Saying, it was one of those things last night, just one more. And it was 2 in the morning and Kevin had gone to bed and he was like, don't stay up all night. And I contemplated it. And I was like, well, what time do I have to be up? I mean, I might as well just stay awake at this point. Like, you know,
I read the first book when I was 15 and
holy shit.
Then I got, it was too, it, well, I loved it. And then I got to the second book and, you know, that's when Jamie's captured.
Don't tell me I'm not there yet.
Shit.
God damn it, Tessa. Fucking hell.
Look, so much happens. That's like, you know, it's just, okay, sorry.
All right. Well,
but
okay.
I won't tell you anything, okay. But it was a little heavy for a 15-year-old. So I had thought about going back and reading the books, but like I said, it gives you that, like, I don't know. It's like you're dragging and you feel like your, like, reality is like
so far away. Yeah.
It's so much less. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Than this fictional world.
I am I'm absolutely obsessed with Outlander, so I get it. All right, guys.
Okay, so there's another thread we can start in headquarters for people that love Outlander. Although you're like really behind, so I wouldn't let people talk to you about it yet. Oh, okay. You got to catch up. Right. By the time this airs, you'll have watched all of them, I'm sure.
No. I was like, well, I guess I'm getting a subscription to Stars. That was my takeaway.
I have to tell you guys about something. While you guys were having a fantastic weekend.
Oh, movies.
You went to the movies?
I did. Oh, well, Mel is stalking me. Yeah, she texted me twice about my location. She's like, what's happening? It was so funny because it came out of nowhere. She texted me when I was in the movie. She's like, what movie are you seeing? And she was like, how's the Capitol Grill, which is next door to the movie theater. And then she stalked me again. She pinned my location when I was at my daughter's dance recital this weekend. So,
and then I Googled that place. I'm like, they didn't even have their calendar updated. I couldn't even see what you were doing.
Yeah. My daughter had her big dance recital on Saturday night. They practiced for this recital for 9 months and then that's it.
Did the moms get up and do their thing?
It was so humiliating. I'm sorry. Like, I know, I hope nobody's mad at me, but like, I know last week on the podcast, I said that the lyrics were like juicy something. I was wrong. The lyrics are yummy, yummy. You're so yummy in my tummy. Yummy, yummy.
What?
Like over and over again. The song is called Level Up. And it was just so inappropriate in the middle of a child's dance recital. I can't even begin to tell you.
Oh my God. That's problematic.
I just love it. Cause I just like think of, I don't know, like, the mean girl moms getting up and doing a dance.
The one, no, it's, so
there's,
the an,
there's
one
two
mom,
dances.
Regina George's
there's two
mom.
Dances.
Like, but a whole, like, set of them.
Yeah.
A
whole
dance
set of
together.
Regina George moms.
I'm not mad at them. I'm happy for them that they get to dance. And I actually like the song for myself. And I like them and their dance for, like, myself apart from this dance recital. Like, my daughter came on next and danced to, like, you know, Born to Be Wild or something totally, which is not, I guess, not totally innocent, but, you know, just something that was, it's like, it was so out of place.
It's not for you.
There was there's like a kid's dance number and then the lights go black and come on it like bright red on the stage. You know, it was like, it's so out of place. I don't know. I'm not mad at them, but.
It was like an Amsterdam street.
It was like an Amsterdam red light district.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah. So, last week, the community pool opened in my town, which is, like, kind of a big deal. It's, like, everybody buys the membership for the summer, and everybody meets there every day. It's kind of, like, this meeting point in our town. Like, everybody's just always there. Like, people eat dinner there. There's a snack bar. It's, like...
Yeah.
And so, opening day, I was there with Mackenzie, and somebody filmed like a panoramic view of the pool and said, and then posted it in the town Facebook group that the pool is open, and my big ass is right in the front and center of the video. And like, I have the worst, like, I have resting bitch face, and
did
I'm
you
just
report
like
it? Did you record
no.
the video?
No, but like, imagine I go to pick Mackenzie up from school and like four moms run up to me and they're like, did you know you're in the Facebook video? And I was like, what is it? Because I'm not on the Facebook. Like, I'm not on the town Facebook. I don't want anything to do with it.
Yeah.
But like,
really? Mine's fun. It's drama filled. I'm like, oh shit.
Did I do that again? There is drama on ours too, but it's mostly people complaining about state testing, which I, you know, like, I don't know.
Ours is complaining about the McDonald's all the time.
What do you mean? What is to complain about?
We have a bad McDonald's.
You have a bad McDonald's?
And they're always complaining. There was a fight at the McDonald's. People, the wait lines are too long. The staff is mean.
It's wrong. They complain about everything's wrong.
People leave reviews for it. Their pictures of their food for it.
I love that.
There
That's
was
petty shit.
That
That's
is
what
petty.
I'm here for. Oh, so your big chunky ass was on
my big like just my first day of summer body, which is like
your
so
gorgeous,
pasty white.
Beautiful.
I can't even tell you. No, it's really not about my size. Like I don't care. I've got thighs and cellulite. Deal with it. Whatever. But, like, I was just, like, blindingly white. And nobody told me that I was being filmed. You should at least get a chance to pose in a bathing suit. Like,
absolutely.
If you're going to be filmed. Absolutely. Like, sign a waiver or something. It was just horrible. Other than that, I watched the U.S. Open, the golf this weekend. Mm-hmm. And you guys need to get on board because the golfers are hot now.
Yeah, they were. My husband watched it all week. Like, it would, that's what he kept on the TV when we were in the hotel rooms. And they were, that's some bad looking guys on there.
There was, there's like the guy that came in first and the guy that came in second. Both of them are like big old thighed, like just alpha male types.
You have my attention.
There's this one guy named Bruce Koepka. That's what I was going to ask you guys. Could we get? Could we pull off a golf romance? Is that somebody? Is that something that people want?
Wow. Because like, I, in this? Maybe she's his caddy. I love that.
Caddy shacked up.
Caddy shacked dick.
Caddy shacked up.
Oh, shut up! I love that. That's
do
good.
You like it?
Yeah.
Okay, you guys can do it. So there's this guy Bruce Koepka. Koepka, something like that. They call him the alpha male of golf.
Can I Google this while we're talking about it? Okay.
Wait, no. Spell don't Google name. Him. Google, what? No, go to Instagram and go look up Jenna Sims. JenaSims. She's at Jenna Sims.
JenaSims. One word?
Yeah.
Well, there's a hashtag Jenna Sims.
Well, she's like, I guess she's like famous in her own right. She does. Wow. She
is
does.
That him?
Yeah. Okay. So that her Instagram is full of pictures of them just like half naked and cavorting. It's fantastic.
Hold on. Tell me it again because I'm not getting it when it comes up. It's JenaSims.
Yeah. At Jenna Sims.
Okay. Let me look that up. Because when I pulled that first one, there's nobody. I don't know. Is there a dot or a.
She's wearing a Miss Georgia.
Am I missing a dash?
Okay, I'm just going to text you the profile. Hold on.
Okay, that's probably going to work out better because it's not coming up on here.
She looks a little bit like Jennifer Aniston.
So that's her. That's his girlfriend. There was a scandal like 2 weeks ago because they were playing in a tournament. He was playing in a tournament and he was having kind of a bad run of luck.
It's Jenna M. Sims for those who want to know. Just Jenna M. Sims.
Oh, sorry. Is that what it is? At Jenna, JenaMSIMS.
Did they do something inappropriate? Keep going.
No. It was, but basically what happened is she tried to kiss him when he was on his way to, from one hole to another while he was having kind of a bad round and he did not, he like denied the kiss. And, yeah. Like, and then everybody went nuts about it on golf and in like the golf world, I guess.
Because sometimes you just want to be left alone.
He made up for it, though. He made up for it. But he's like,
the picture of him on the beach where she's straddling him topless. Like, holy fuck.
I know. Wait, scroll down more. There's a picture of them, like, laying on the deck of a boat, and he's got both of his hands on her bare ass.
Whoa, I see this. Yeah.
Okay, that's what I'm talking about. That's what's happening in golf right now. These guys.
God. When did this change? I used to watch Chichi Rodriguez stroll around up there like a 70-year-old man.
So, wow. Anyways, I I'm not really a fan of golf, but, like,
I'm a fan of this.
It's happening now. It's definitely happening. So you guys, how was your Father's Day?
I'm going to take some time to look at this later. I'll save that.
Father's Day was yesterday.
I sent my dad some stuff early because I knew I wasn't going to get home till late. And he got it. You know, I always send those nice boxes. I don't know if I've ever sent you one, Tessa. I've sent you some, Leah.
Yeah.
The cocoa people. I don't know. He didn't like it. He reported that the sausage sucked and he wants a redo, so I don't know, I gotta come up with something else.
He told you your gift sucked and he wants another one?
Yes.
Wow.
He's like, he sent me a text, he goes, this sucks, try again.
Oh my gosh.
I'm like, fine. But I think my husband found something, so
I hope
whatever.
So. Damn.
What'd you get your dad, Leah?
I got him security cameras. The ones that we have, the Arlo cameras I've talked about before, I love them so much. And my dad is so funny that he'll probably just watch them all day because he just loves that shit. So I got him those for Father's Day and sent them to him. And he's like, these are awesome. He's telling me about every day. He's calling me. He's like, hey, I caught a bird in it and da-da-da. Like all the stuff he sees now. It's great. At last Father's Day, I got him an Apple Watch and he has not stopped talking about it. So for someone to be like, 65 years old and, you know, you would think, you would think, like, they wouldn't be into tech or something, but he's so into it. Like, anything tacky. Like, I got him the AirPods. He thought those were just the shit. Like,
I've seen that to somebody at breakfast yesterday. I was like, I always am like, I don't want to get this new watch. I don't want to try these AirPods. And then every time I get something new of Apple, I'm like, why haven't I been doing this? I was like, I'm going to stop resisting Apple.
Yeah.
And anytime they give me something, I'm just going to do it.
Yeah. Like, this is just how it's going to be from now on.
Yeah, you really can't. You can't escape Apple. And now they're like, they're going to do away with iTunes, which is like the life's work that you've built up in iTunes. And they're going to take it away. Where I'm like, the fact that we're going to have to just deal with whatever new thing they throw at us.
No, I think it's going to be better because Google is a mess and they're just cleaning it up. As a person who's always going in and getting their links for books and music and different things, they're making it more organized. I think it's going to be better.
Yeah.
Is what I really think they're doing. Because I've heard people complain about it, but as somebody who's always in there messing with shit, I think it's going to be better.
I just want to know, am I going to get the hours back that I spent uploading all my CDs into iTunes? Because
that's also like a two year undertaking.
Also, another valid thing that I'm worried about when getting a new car is having a CD player, because right now my 07 Matrix has got a 6-disc changer. And when it's holiday time, you better believe when it's holiday time, I load that fucker up. It is Christmas carols 24/7 in my ride.
Wait, which Christmas CDs do you have that you're like, they're like your old faithfuls?
Number one, Muppet John Denver Christmas. The best.
I thought you were going to say Mariah Carey.
Oh, absolutely. Number two, Mariah Carey, Merry Christmas.
That song doesn't get old.
Never.
All I Want for Christmas
album.
Is You? Why doesn't it ever get old?
My son doesn't know who she is.
Well, that's your fault.
Because I was carrying the umbrella over him when we're walking. And I'm like, what's it like to be Mariah Carey? And he's like, who? Huh?
That's sad.
You know who's famous to kids nowadays? YouTube stars. Like, yeah. They don't know who, like, actual actors and actresses are. Like, you need to get a YouTube channel if you want my kids' attention.
Yeah.
Do you have a million subscribers? Then you ain't shit.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I'm glad I don't have that. Right. I don't have that yet. I'm sure it'll change by the time they're old enough to get into it.
It's just like, but all, there are some that I like.
Animals.
Yeah.
Like, I'll look over my son just watching people playing with stuffed animals. And then he goes and does it and plays with stuffed animals.
Yeah. My mom's like, you should do a meetup at the mall. And I was like, what are you talking about? And she's like, that's what the YouTube celebrities do. They do meetups at the mall. Like, where...
Your mom said that? YouTube celebrities do that?
My daughter said that.
Oh,
or did I say my mom?
I don't know. Either way.
Yeah, my daughter thinks that that's when you've made it, when you go to a mall and people come to see you, get your autograph, which...
Well,
has there ever been a book romance signing at a mall? That would be fun, wouldn't it?
Okay, let's bring back the 80s. Let's do it.
Like, what if we just had, like 10 tables set up in, like, the mall, like, and...
I call it an Orange Julius. I said that one.
That's what you wanted, the Orange Julius table? Gross. That stuff tastes like stale Sunkist to me. I don't like it.
I haven't had an Orange Julius in probably 20 years.
I know.
I can't even remember what it tastes like.
Yeah, we have one in our Dairy Queen. It's like a hybrid gas station Dairy Queen Orange Julius.
We don't have a Dairy Queen. Nowhere near me.
My little town has a Dairy Queen and you don't have a Dairy Queen?
It's like a...
No.
She's actually a real city. They have other options. They don't need Dairy Queen.
There's no fast food in my actual town. Like, you have to go to the next town to get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mel would starve to death.
Mel, she'd be like skin and bones, which you are already, by the way.
Oh, and
I saw pictures of you at the Pokemon thing, and I was like, what the hell? Like, you're even... You halved yourself. Actually, people have been emailing the readmeromance @gmail.com asking for diet tips from Mel. And I'm like, I don't know if anybody else could pull off eating fast food exclusively and still losing weight besides
Mel. You have to work 80 hours a day, and then you have to run 5 miles a day, and then just stuff your face with junk food.
I run 5 to 8 miles a day.
I can't get past 2. Like, you know what the thing about, I hate working out and it never gets easier for me. It, like, no matter how many times I do it in a row, or like if I go for like 6 months, like I still hate it at the 7 months, and it's still awful and it's still hard for me. It's weird. It's like I really have to suffer through it.
You have to push through it, because now I get sick if I don't work out.
Yeah,
like I get gross. Like, I don't feel good. Like, you'll want to throw up a little bit.
Really?
Yeah, you get, like, sick. You'll, like, feel like, I didn't work out this morning. I didn't run, and I feel like crap. I feel like, you think your body starts craving the endorphins of it? You stop making them naturally, and you have to run to get them. So then you'll run, and then you'll get the high of it, and you're like, okay, I feel better.
That's incentive for me not to run, though. Because my body's going to stop making them if I do that. But, you know,
But then I can eat whatever I want.
But that's the book I've been listening to, the Atomic Habits thing. That's one thing they talk about is, like, distance runners and stuff, like, what they do. And, you know, the habits they make and then the things that push you forward and how to, like, sort of incentivize yourself to, like, do those habits. And, like, you know, they call it, like, habit stacking is what he said. And it's, like, a habit that you want to do with a habit you enjoy doing. So, like, or a habit you already have. So it's, like, something to incorporate you into, like, to incentivize yourself to do it. And I'm, like, there is nothing that incentivizes me to run. Like, food. Food doesn't even do it. I'm, like, fuck it, I'll just eat. Like, that's not going to do it for me. But it's,
I'm, like, you can have 2 cake pops if you finish this run. You can have this if you do that.
There's this, I don't know if I listened to this on a podcast or read it somewhere, but Ray Romano has... He does these things with himself all day long called mind bets.
Yeah.
Where he just basically is incentivizing himself constantly, where he's like, okay, but like in weird ways, like he'll be like, okay, if my phone rings in the next 5 minutes, I'll have to get up and take a shower. Or like he says he does it like almost compulsively. Yeah. Where he's like, okay, if the universe tells me something in the next 5 minutes, I'll make myself do this.
Oh, I like that. That's cool.
Yeah, I was Ray Romano.
He was talking about, like, the thing with Jerry Seinfeld. Like, he writes a joke a day. He's like, it doesn't have to be good. It doesn't have to be funny. But he said that he can't break the chain. That he's done this for, like, 20-something years or whatever. He's done a joke a day. And he's like, I can't break the streak. And that was something that they talked about, was, like, breaking the streak. But it's been an interesting... I'm almost finished with the book. And it's got some really interesting ideas and tips on how to, like, you know... make yourself do more of the things you want to do, and how to create better habits and smaller, more manageable increments. And I've enjoyed it, but it's been a book I've had to make myself listen to. So it's not been like, you know, it's not a romance. I'm not kicking back and loving it, but there is a lot to gain from listening to it. So for that, okay. What it's worth. We didn't ever ask, though. How was your Father's Day?
Oh, it was good. I went to Rockaway. My parents live in Rockaway Beach, Queens. And we watched the Women's World Cup. We watched the U.S. play Chile. I love women's soccer, U.S. Yeah. Women's soccer. And we had breakfast burritos. My brother is a really good cook, especially with Mexican food. And he made us breakfast burritos that were insane. There was like refried beans, potatoes, bacon, eggs, like salsa. So good.
I'd be all over that.
Oh my God, he makes them so good. They're like the size of a small toddler. They're just gigantic.
Does your daughter eat them? Does she eat
them? No. She doesn't. She's a really picky eater. Then we went to the beach. We walked to the beach and like just picked up seashells and hung out. It was fun.
Now, did she do an Irish like dance or something? Because I saw her costume on Facebook. So what was that the same day as the recital, or is that the Father's Day?
It was the night before Father's Day, the Saturday night. She did a recital, and she does Irish step dancing. She's done it for a couple of years now, and she does acrobatics, which is like straddle tumbles and cartwheels and stuff like that.
She had
a big cartwheel at the end of the routine, and like she'd been so nervous for weeks about hitting that cartwheel, and so like I was like white knuckling it through the whole routine. I was like, Jesus Christ, hit the fucking cartwheel. Please. She did it perfectly. Like, I mean, the hours spent in the backyard doing cartwheels, it's like it has to be in the double digits. And then like, you know, my dad and my husband brought her big bouquets of flowers afterwards. Aww. And she was super happy. So it's really fun. I love the recital. Yeah, it's her third recital. I can't imagine. It's like a giant auditorium in a college. Like, mm-hmm. It's a lot of people. For these little kids to get up there and remember a routine when they see these people looking back at them.
Having to do it.
Those moms? I give them so much credit. I mean, I feel like I'm really offending people, but like, oh my, you just had to be there. You really had to be there, you guys. Okay, so we're here for Find Her by Tessa Bailey, which is something I wrote. It's not connected to anything. It's just a story that stands all on its own. It's about a girl named Hope Wilder. She goes to a concert for her favorite band, and the lead singer, Johnny Scott, stops singing halfway through the first song and just stares at her. There's like a love at first sight connection. He asks the security guard to bring her backstage after the show, and it goes from there. It's really romantic. For some reason, I've always wanted to write. I've like had dreams about this scenario of like a really? Rock star just like falling in love with someone in the first row. Yeah, I don't know why.
Aww, that's so.
So sweet. I took this chance to write it, and it's hot, it's sexy, it's kind of, I don't know, it's romantic. Just listen to it.
It's a romance. Oh, that's great. Good thing.
Yeah, yeah, you're gonna like it. Okay, so let's play. I think we're gonna play either the first two or the first three chapters today. Then tomorrow, we're gonna have a special episode where I play the first chapter of my book, Fix Her Up, which is out now, just like to give you a preview of it. And then we're going to come back on Friday and play the final chapters of this book, Find Her. Okay? Everybody got that? Okay.
It's not confusing at all.
It's not confusing at all. And so we're going to go ahead and play it, and then we'll be back to check in with you guys on the other side. Okay?
Let's do it. Bye.
Bye.
Chapter 1. Hope Wilder pressed a hand to her stomach in an attempt to still the butterflies. Tonight was the night. After a full year of saving her waitressing tips, she'd purchased tickets to see Citizen. It was a huge extravagance. The money could have gone towards more practical things, like rent on the apartment she shared with her brother, or food. But living on ramen and tap water would be worth it when she heard that first guitar lick. Besides, she was well used to going without, wasn't she? What was another 12 months of stale noodles compared to seeing Citizen up close? They weren't even inside the arena yet, and electrical currents were already racing up and down her arms, so intense she couldn't stand still. "Easy, Hope," her older brother, Wyatt, rumbled, humor evident in his voice.
"If you keep bouncing around like that, you'll exhaust yourself by the time the show starts."
"I'm sorry, I can't help it." Hope covered her mouth with both hands when the girls standing in front of them in line turned around at her outburst. "We've been listening to Citizen since we've been living on our own," she continued, much quieter. "Remember the day the state finally approved you as my guardian? You were playing their album when I climbed into your truck. The songs? I don't know. They just hold good memories for me. Hearing them live is going to bring everything full circle." She extended her fingers up toward the night sky and wiggled them around. "I can feel it." Wyatt patted Hope on the shoulder with his big paw before shoving it back in his pocket and going back to observing the milling crowd with his typical quiet suspicion. Her brother always humored her when she spouted off with what he called her hippie speak. Wyatt was a realist, while Hope had always been the dreamer of their two-person family. Even when she'd been a ward of the state, and having dreams seemed pointless, she'd never been able to contain her whimsical fantasies of fate, happy endings, magic moments, magic within people. Everyone was capable of making magic. They just needed to believe hard enough, right? When she'd been living in the shiny, disinfected cinder block walls of the home, she'd almost been drained of her faith that good things were possible. And then Wyatt had shown up with the paperwork that sprung her free of that concrete prison. That day, as they'd accelerated onto the interstate with Citizen blasting at full volume, the tears had streamed down her face, and she swore she'd never doubt the power of keeping the faith again. Nor would she doubt magic. After all, look where she was, mere minutes from standing in the front row at a concert given by her favorite band, hearing songs that had gotten Hope through the darkest, scariest moments of her 21 years. Some nights, she swore those songs had kept her alive. When she'd heard Citizen was coming to their little South Carolina town, an hour outside of Charleston, she couldn't believe it. They were hugely famous and played all over the world. Amsterdam, Paris, Prague. But when tickets for tonight went on sale, Best believe Hope didn't question her luck. She'd clicked fast enough to nearly break her computer's mouse. Anticipation climbed Hope's spine when they were waved forward by security. She opened her fringed, cross-body bag and smiled brightly at the guard, inviting him to inspect the contents of her bag with a flashlight. Finally, he smiled back and sent Hope on her way, and she squealed, hooking her arm through Wyatt's to guide him toward the general admission, standing section in front of the stage, also known as the pit.
"Remember,"
Wyatt shouted as they entered the area and the opening band's set surrounded them in noise.
"Stay close to me in case people start pushing."
Hope forced a solemn expression and carved a crisscross over her heart. "Promise," Wyatt grunted, his furrowed brow proclaiming his skepticism. They wove through the crowded general admission area, Hope's brother using his size and general grumpiness to create a pathway. As they passed through the groups of college students, Hope noted they were the only ones without beers in hand and nudged Wyatt in the ribs.
"Do you want to go get a drink? Citizen probably won't come on for a while."
He hesitated, one hand stroking down his beard.
"Nah, I'm good."
"Go, brother bear," Hope smiled up at him. "I promise not to be crushed by a mosh pit in your absence."
"Not funny,"
he grumbled, before poking the air in front of her face with a finger.
"Stay right here, Hope. I mean it."
She nodded and pushed him back toward the general admission exit. As soon as Wyatt was out of sight, she turned to face the stage, squared her shoulders, and let out a shaky breath. It was time to admit why her stomach continued to flip every 5 seconds. Johnny Scott. Citizen's lead singer would be on that very stage tonight, right in front of her. That voice that had growled the most beautiful words in her headphones would be coming from a place she could see and almost touch. It wasn't that she had a crush on world-famous Johnny Scott. No, that wasn't quite it. All the girls who'd come tonight were probably a little bit in love with Johnny. Who wouldn't be? His lyrics haunted. His eyes spoke of complicated, untapped depths. His voice was pure seduction of the senses. So, yes, there was no denying he was an insanely gorgeous man. But Hope's infatuation with him was purely about the music. Sometimes, late at night, she popped in her headphones and closed her eyes really tight, letting Citizen's lyrics spin entire worlds in her head, with Johnny's voice as the conductor. It was well known that Johnny wrote all the songs himself, and Hope could feel triumphs, disasters, and honesty in every breath, every note. They were masterpieces, and she couldn't wait to be in the presence of that genius tonight. Hope swayed to the ballad being sung by the opening band's female lead singer. Surprised when they ended so soon, and roadies dressed in black rushed out to change the equipment. The crowd swelled around Hope, carrying her forward as they pushed toward the stage, anticipating Citizen's arrival. Energy snapped and crackled in the air, excitement fluttering in the pulse points at her wrists and neck. This was it. When the lights went out and the crowd screamed, Hope registered vaguely that Wyatt wasn't back yet with his beer. But, oh God, then she couldn't think at all, because the two-story screen hanging in the background of the stage flickered with white and red graffiti and the audience roared, smoke emerging from unseen sources as the band took the stage. 4 spotlights came on at once, highlighting the 4 members of Citizen, and as Hope's eyes landed on Johnny Scott for the first time, her body was attacked by a hot, full-body shiver. "Oh my," she whispered, the words swallowed up by the crowd's deafening cheers. On the screen of her computer, or on the pages of magazines, Citizen's lead singer was breathtaking. In person, he was a god. He didn't smile or acknowledge the crowd as he picked up his white electric guitar, slinging it around his neck, testing the pedal. Shadows highlighted his prominent cheekbones and furrowed brows. A lock of black hair fell into his eyes, but he flicked his head to shoo it away. Hope wasn't prepared for the sight of his hand, so huge and long-fingered as it tickled the strings of his guitar. She sucked in a breath when her nipples turned hard beneath the thin material of her dress, goosebumps breaking out on every inch of her skin. What is happening to me? Her reaction to Johnny Scott was unexpected, to say the least. She'd expected to be in awe, but she'd never expected her thighs to become pliant, or her stomach to dip and shudder so intensely. She had to press the heel of her hand there, which only made the strange sensation inside of her worse. This wasn't hero worship. This was attraction in the basest sense. Was everyone around her feeling it too? It took an effort to tear her eyes from Johnny, but she did it in order to look around. No one seemed frozen to the spot like her. They were laughing and trying to guess which song Citizen would play first. Meanwhile, invisible hands ghosted over her body, coaxing parts of her to life that had never been touched by hands, save her own. The first song took flight, pumping like a jet engine, Johnny's voice melting in the air like butter on a pan, and Hope felt it go straight through her body. She couldn't take her eyes off him. The subtle way he rocked side to side, eyes closed while he released velvet words into the microphone. All the while, Hope had never felt more exposed, more naked, more aware of her flesh, her breaths, her fingertips. They skimmed up the fronts of her thighs, and Johnny Scott's eyes popped open, landing squarely on Hope, almost as if she'd called his name out loud, as if he was confused. He stumbled over one of the lyrics, and in the midst of the crowd's curious murmurings, his sculpted, male hand fell away from the guitar strings, the song fading out into a discombobulated cluster of bad notes. Hope's breath rasped in her ears, her heart rapping against her ribcage. Johnny stared back. What is this? Am I dreaming? Without moving her head to confirm, she could feel everyone nearby in the crowd turn to look at her, their speculation causing prickles to climb her spine. She couldn't really blame them. The lead singer of the world's most famous rock band had literally stopped mid-song to stare at her. Her. Hope Wilder. And maybe it was the insanity of the moment, but she couldn't tear her gaze from him either. Her heart fluttered and danced, insisting she get closer, needing to get closer to the source of its excitement.
Johnny!
His name being shouted by the drummer jerked Johnny's head up, and he visibly shook himself, rocking back on his heels before taking a deep breath and starting the song over again. When it ended, Johnny walked the perimeter of the stage, coming so close to Hope, she thought she might hyperventilate. She watched as the lead singer crouched down and whispered something to one of the security guards before straightening, giving Hope a searching look, and retrieving his guitar once more. The security guard signaled Hope forward, producing a laminated badge from his blazer pocket and handing it to her.
Mr. Scott would like to see you backstage after the show.
What? But really? I'm not sure I should. The guard was already returning to his post.
Hey, sorry I was gone so long. The lines were crazy,
Wyatt said, coming to a stop beside her, plastic beer cup in hand.
Did I miss anything?
Chapter 2. The girl. The girl. Where the hell was the girl? Johnny Scott paced the small green room backstage, swiping at the lingering sweat on his brow. The encore had only ended 2 minutes ago, so being this impatient was irrational, but nothing about tonight had been remotely rational, not in the least. At 29, he'd been touring with Citizen for 5 years, almost nonstop. He'd never, not once, fucked up a song. Even now, he couldn't really explain what tugged at his brain. 1 minute, he'd been giving himself a mental pep talk. You can get through this show, damn it. Give these people what they paid for. But just as he'd geared up for the second verse of Overdrive, his blood had hummed with awareness. Beautiful. God, she was the most beautiful girl he'd ever seen. In his line of work, it wasn't unusual to spy an attractive woman in the front row, but they never inspired anything in him but a passing notice. They were fans. At some point, they'd all started to look the same to Johnny. Faces in an endless, nonstop sea of faces. Why was tonight's girl different? Johnny stripped off his sweaty shirt and tossed it aside, leaning back against the wall of the green room and closing his eyes, picturing her, the girl who looked like she should be wearing a crown of flowers on her head. Big, soulful eyes, untamed white blonde hair. She'd been so still in the chaos of the crowd, and for the first time in a long time, the chaos inside him had gone still too. Like she'd commanded it in a whisper only he could hear. With a hard swallow, Johnny pushed off the wall and opened the door, scanning the bustling backstage area. He'd asked the security guard to escort the girl back to his private dressing room, but what if she'd left instead? Crazy as it sounded, Johnny knew he would leave the venue and go find her. There was intuition turning over and over in his gut, telling him he would regret it forever if he didn't find the girl from the crowd. Every time he'd looked down at her during the show, his thoughts had felt clearer, his heartbeat truer. In other words, the exact opposite of how he'd been feeling for years. Where was she? Johnny strode out of the dressing room shirtless, prepared to go search the streets of nowhere, South Carolina, until he found her. Was it possible the man she'd been with had prevented her from coming to meet Johnny? The guy hadn't touched her once during the show, and despite their massive size difference, he'd clocked a resemblance. They were brother and sister, he'd decided. Honestly, Johnny's ability to finish the show had depended on them being related and not boyfriend and girlfriend. Even the possibility of her being taken made his throat hurt like a son of a bitch. There she was. Johnny slowed from a fast clip to a stop, watching her through the parted sea of backstage crews and managers and press. His stomach knitted up tight, and he wet his lips on reflex as their eyes met across the room. Fuck. She was a flower peeking up out of scorched earth, out of place among the wolves backstage. Johnny cut through the bodies, needing to reach her, bring her somewhere safe where they could be alone. He just needed to get her alone. When Johnny and the girl were only a foot apart, he managed to take his attention off her pretty face long enough to notice her knuckles were white on the strap of her bag. The scent of fresh rain and wind hit him, and his voice was hoarse when he said, "Please don't be nervous." A beat passed, and then she breathed a laugh. "Well, since you ask nicely." Johnny's lips twitched, and he stepped closer. "What's your name?" "Hope." Seeming at a loss for what to do next, she finally put out her hand for a handshake, though there was barely enough room between them to fit her hand. "It's a pleasure to meet you. I cry every time I hear Undertow." She closed her eyes and gave a quick headshake. "I meant to play that a lot cooler." "Undertow?" Johnny rasped, his pulse speeding. "This girl couldn't be real. That's from our first EP. It didn't even make it to a studio album." "I know." She pressed her lips together, her eyes, sky blue, he saw now, searching his face. "But it's the best one. No offense to your other songs." He finally took her hand, and Nirvana shot up his arm. "It's my favorite, too." "Why don't you ever play it?" "Too personal." When her gaze remained level with quiet understanding, he battled the insane urge to press his face to her neck, breathe her in. "I love people singing my songs, but I don't like sharing that one. Do you think I'm selfish?" "No," she shook her head. "Maybe just human." He raised an eyebrow. "Maybe?" "Let me check," she murmured, reaching up with her fingertips to trace his cheekbone and making his eyelids grow heavy. "There you are. Definitely human." Johnny pushed closer, bringing their foreheads together. "Hope." With their shallow breaths clashing between them, she seemed as shocked as Johnny that this was happening, that he could see someone in a crowd and immediately have her become vital to his next moment, his next breath. "I want to be alone with you." She nodded. "You noticed everyone is staring too." With a frown, Johnny scanned the immediate area to find at least 50 people in headsets or stage equipment in their hands, openly ogling him in Hope. I guess I've just gotten used to it, he said, a foreign possessiveness rifling through his chest. Following instinct, he took a protective step toward Hope and wrapped an arm around her shoulder. I don't like them looking at you, though. He guided her toward the dressing room. Come on. A moment later, Johnny closed the door of the small room, and as soon as the sound cut out and they were alone, the atmosphere thickened along with his hunger. He couldn't deny his growing need to get closer to Hope, where she stood in her loose white dress, her moonbeam hair falling around her shoulders, the ends curling at the swell of her tits. God, he needed to touch her, absorb the goodness rolling off her in waves. They met in the middle of the room, and he swooped down with his mouth, capturing her soft, sweet one, and groaning into the most urgent kiss of his life. Urgent. God, yeah. Get enough of her taste? Not in this lifetime or the next 100. Their mouths opened, her tongue hesitantly returning his strokes, her body vibrating against his, thighs restless, trembling palms settling on his bare chest. That simple touch had his cock reacting like a lever had been pulled, hoisting in his jeans, his zipper biting into that hard, swollen flesh. Where the hell do you come from, baby? Johnny dropped his mouth to her neck and tongued her pulse, licking up to her ear and biting gently. I have to get inside you. Johnny thought he saw a slight hesitation in Hope's expression, but when she welcomed his next kiss enthusiastically, he decided he had to be mistaken. This girl had to feel this. She had to want him just as badly, right? Like getting as close as possible was a necessity? She let Johnny back her across the room and wedge her back up against the wall, and when his cock pressed to the plane of her belly, they both gasped. Hope looking down, moving her hips almost experimentally against him. You like rubbing on me? He growled against her mouth. That feel nice? Yes, she breathed, her eyes glazed. That's good, baby. We're going to do a lot more of it. They should slow down and talk, shouldn't they? He wanted to know everything about Hope, but Jesus, he'd never wanted anyone this badly in his fucking life. His hands lacked their usual dexterity as he unzipped his jeans and took out his dick, stroking his aching shaft a couple of times while he made love to Hope's eager mouth. He grazed her upper lip with his teeth, and she whimpered, her head falling back, giving him the opportunity to trail his tongue down to the hollow of her throat, laving her there. Oh my God, everything feels so good, she moaned. I'm going to make you feel even better, he said, rejoining their mouths, tongue-fucking her while his hands gathered and lifted the hemline of her dress. Another 10 seconds passed before he garnered the will to stop kissing her perfect mouth. When he managed the feat, he leaned back to look at Hope from the waist down, and the chemicals in his bloodstream combined and exploded. You're going to drop those little white panties for me, Hope? A tremor went through her, and Johnny watched in utter rapture as she crossed her legs and squeezed, wetness seeping through the white cotton covering her pussy. It's just that your voice, I can feel it everywhere, every time you speak. Johnny backed her body more securely against the wall, pressing their fronts together, breathing into her mouth. His thumbs tucked into the waistband of her panties and shoved them down her thighs. I need you. I need this. They kissed breathlessly, sucking oxygen in through their nose, tongues wrestling. There was a tree planted at the base of his spine, reaching out with its roots and wrapping around every part of him, tightening his muscles and demanding release. Release with only this girl, no one else ever again. No one tasted or felt this right. Johnny fisted his cock and guided it to her sex, finding it slippery enough that he wouldn't have to wait another second to impale her, put a claim on her right here, right now. My Hope. Rough this time, baby, okay? Next time, I'll lick you where you made that wet spot. fuck you nice and slow and mop up my mess with those white panties. But I have to take right now. You take from me too, Hope, huh? He kissed her hard and sank his cockhead inside of her, hissing through his teeth when she gasped, her flesh rippling around him. Christ, she was tight. Almost too tight. Wait, wait. Her shaky breath rushed out over his face. I've never done this. You've never what? Johnny lifted his head and found Hope's cheeks stained with pink, her expression unsure. Christ, she hadn't been unsure a moment ago, had she? He would have reassured her, held her, anything, or had he been so lost in his own lust he'd missed her obvious nerves? You're a virgin. Johnny dropped his forehead to the wall just beyond her shoulder, welcoming the pain. Maybe it would distract him from the incessant throbbing between his legs. Jesus fucking Christ. I'm sorry, she stammered, disengaging from Johnny and sidestepping, pulling up her panties with shaking hands. I should have told you before you, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm way out of my depth here, okay? Oh God, I have to go. Have to go? Johnny reached for Hope's elbow, but she moved it out of his reach. Hope, he said, trying to keep his voice level as he zipped his hard dick back into his jeans with a wince. Please don't leave. Face still pink, she tucked hair behind her ear and made for the door. My brother is waiting for me. It was nice to meet you, she groaned. Because that didn't sound pathetic. She sailed out the door. After a few seconds of stunned disbelief, Johnny went after her, catching up with her about 10 feet from the dressing room. Ignoring the curious looks from passersby, he stepped into Hope's hurried path. Just wait, okay? He shoved frustrated fingers through his hair. Wait one damn minute. I didn't mean to sound annoyed back there. You caught me off guard. No, it was me. I was naive and stupid. I thought we had this, you know, she gestured to the stage entrance, moment out there. I wanted to come back here to see what it meant, if it meant something at all, and it's fine, it's okay that it was just about sex, but I can't hook up with you in a dressing room and just go home like nothing happened. I kind of wish I could. She gave Johnny a lopsided smile and his heart broke. I'll think of you every time I hear Undertow. Again, she turned to leave. Hope, Johnny shouted, catching her elbow after a few steps in her wake, pulling her to face him. Unbelievable, he said, dropping his head forward on a humorless laugh. Women offer themselves to me constantly, and I never accept. The one time I want to accept, she isn't offering. I wasn't sure if I was offering or not. It all happened so fast, Hope whispered. You're a very distracting kisser. A laugh huffed out of him. Don't leave. Why? Because we did have a moment out there. He shook his head. You brought the silence back. Her breath caught. What do you mean? Johnny couldn't believe he'd said that out loud. This girl was going to think he was crazy. Or maybe not. Her blue eyes held so much understanding, the rest came pouring out. It's so loud everywhere I go. People screaming for me to play a particular song, the media asking me questions. That noise doesn't go away anymore. It stays in my head, and I can't escape it, even when I'm alone. He looked away with a hard swallow. I can't write songs anymore. Haven't been able to for a year, give or take. It's too damn loud. But when I saw you, Hope, I can't explain it. The noise just stopped. He picked up her hand and brought it to his mouth, skating his lips over the small of her wrist and feeling it flutter. I'm leaving town tomorrow, yeah. And I don't want you to go home and pretend like nothing happened, but I won't pretend I wouldn't love you to stay with me tonight. She watched his mouth kiss her wrist and palm, seeming almost transfixed. I want to stay the night with you. I just want to know you better first. I've already told you more about me than I've told anyone. He pulled her close and kissed her forehead. but you deserve more and I'll give it to you. I can't exactly take you out on a date, though. If we were in New York or Los Angeles, I could be more anonymous, but this place, it's the size of a postage stamp. Yeah, she murmured. Everyone in town was shocked when you announced a tour date here. Her light brows pulled together. Why did you? I told our manager I wanted a smaller venue, hoping it might help me kick the writer's block. He gave me a list of options, and I picked this one. Magic, Hope whispered, threading their fingers together and stepping closer. Yeah, Johnny rasped, leaning in to speak up against her mouth. That's what it feels like. Their lips met in a long, hungry kiss that made his hands itch to part her thighs, to fist her hair, to touch as much of her skin as he could manage. When they broke for a much-needed breath, they both looked around to once again find at least 3 dozen sets of eyes watching them like hawks. Hope went up on her toes and said in his ear, I know somewhere we can go.
Hey, lady listeners, we're back.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm hoping that was good.
Thanks for sticking with it the whole time.
I'm not sure where we left off there, if it's going to be on a cliffhanger or what. But if it is and we're leaving you hanging until Friday, I'm sorry.
No, you're not.
I was about to say, really not.
You're not in sorry at all.
So I'm going to promote myself here. Sorry, because it's my week. So
is that when it's not our week.
Okay. First of all, you can pre-order Find Her, this book, the ebook. You can pre-order it now on Kindle Unlimited. I'm going to add bonus material, so I'll put that link in the episode description.
That's your way for making up for having nothing else attached to this? Oh, okay.
Sorry. I'm learning from you guys slowly. Fix Her Up is out now. That's the book I've been telling you guys about since the beginning of time. It's I'm going to play you the first chapter of it in audiobook tomorrow on the podcast, so definitely stop by. It's a really fun first chapter.
I'm excited to hear it in audio.
On the website, on her Read Me Romance page, I'm going to have some books up there. She's got one that's going to be free. She's got a handful of 99-cent books and a handful of Kindle Unlimited books, and I'll have all that on her Read Me Romance page.
Yes. So the link will be in the episode description below, and we'll also post it in Read Me Romance headquarters on Facebook, our Facebook group. If you haven't joined it, make sure you go join. You guys, I'll be at the Ripped Bodice in Burbank, Los Angeles on July 27th, and I really like you guys to come if you can.
I wish it's a Saturday.
It's at 3 o'clock. Yeah, I'm just like, I have this nightmare of nobody showing up, so please show up if you can.
I'll fly out. I'm there for the day. I'll just come for the day for that.
Okay, I think that's it for today. I'll be back tomorrow with a little special episode, and then we'll all be back on Friday. So we'll see you then, good. Leah. Tell them what to do.
Fuck your day up. Make today your bitch. Don't be a dick. Bye.
Bye.
Read me romance. Read me romance. Read me romance. Read me romance. You could take a look in a book, that's fine. Or you could sit back, relax, and unwind and read me romance. Read me romance.